You know, like all them captures you do, it's like, make sure you're real. You have to tick this image if it's a bust. Isn't that farming data for AI?
I guess I have reluctantly started looking at it. As a graphic designer, I was actually cheered me up because it's mostly terrible. So as a designer or any creative, maybe you looked at lots of images for inspiration. Would that put you in the same troubled water as the robot?
Hi, and welcome back to Well, You're the Designer, the podcast where we discuss how the world shapes graphic designers and how graphic designers shape the world.
Nice.
Joining me today are two professional graphic designers, tempted away from their desks with a Pantone book on a stick and lured into a beautifully lit studio to talk about what it is they do best. On the sofa, we have Richard Kemp, a highly experienced graphic designer and a man whose all-consuming fascination with colours and shapes is reminiscent of a gifted octopus in a bioscience lab.
Thanks.
And next to Richard is Oscar Jackson. Oscar's design career really hit the ground running when he joined Solar Press straight from college and really carved a place for himself within our marketing department and in our hearts.
Oh, thank you.
I don't
thank
mind
you.
Saying.
Thank you.
He's here to bring the average age of the panel down to a level where we might be considered relevant. I'm Danny Powell, a copywriter who's here for free coffee in an hour in a slightly more comfortable chair. And while I'm here, I'll be moderating our discussion and hopefully drawing some conclusions about today's topic.
Unlikely, though.
Unlikely. This week's topic is a topic on everyone's lips about 2 years ago, AI. If this were 2022, this would be the point where I would reveal that everything I just said was actually generated by ChatGPT. But it's not. And everything you've heard so far and everything for the rest of the podcast is the product of soggy human brains on a Friday afternoon. So let's get into it. I was having a bit of fun there with the fact that it's a topic that's maybe a bit off the boil in terms of the news cycle.
Yeah.
But AI's obviously not going
it's
away.
It's not going anywhere, is it?
Oh, no.
And technology is only going to get better.
Literally, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. But, I mean, my impression of it is, I mean, it did sort of blow up, I guess, because it got made public domain.
Yeah.
And I started looking, obviously, as a copywriter, looking at ChatGPT. And to begin with, it's amazing. It's astounding. I can't believe it's doing this. And then after that sort of gradual disappointment as you realise it can't really do what you want it to do and it won't do your job for you. In the graphic design realm, what's been your sort of contact with it?
I obviously being old, just tried to ignore it because I thought I might, like a collapsing bridge in an Indiana Jones film, I might be able to get to the end before it all ends up being eaten by crocodiles. But
yeah.
You know, obviously I can't age faster than AI can, you know, dominate. Yeah, man. So I guess I have reluctantly started looking at it. And then when I did, as a graphic designer, I was actually cheered me up because it's mostly terrible.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you are trying to create. Like, obviously, when you ask it to make a human, gives them six fingers, seven fingers still. Mm. So it's still got a long way to go, I think, especially just in, obviously can't create a brochure design at all. Like, it's not very good with copy.
No. So it can't. I think if you're a photographer or an artist, then it's probably more immediately threatening because the things I would use it for would be to say a customer wants a specific kind of image.
A mountain or something.
Yeah, and you can maybe get some stock photo that's near enough and then use it. Mm. But even then, I think, you know, you still have to practice your prompts and do all that stuff and learn how to use it like you would any other tool.
Yeah.
But I guess it's certainly nearer doing living up to the hype in that area, you know, like some of the stuff I've seen people create on Midjourney is just like, actually astounding even for AI.
Yeah,
but again, that's people that will actually craft it and learn it and like really tweak all their prompts, I guess, right, and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of actual like graphic design rather than art, I haven't seen. You know, if someone put their folio together using AI, I don't think I'd get an interview because it's either it will generate something that is non-editable and just kind of like almost like a photo of the thing rather than the thing itself. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a really good way of saying it. Yeah, it's more of a photo than an actual thing.
Yeah, yeah. So you just get a picture of how the fly would look if it was how these designs would look if they were on flyers, rather than something you can then go, oh, okay, that's cool. So you've got that kind of one-off generate the thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to change it, you have to like regenerate it with extra prompts or more crafted prompts, and then you kind of got essentially what is really a database of templates, and you can, you know, either upload and put in your colors and your images, or you can link them to websites, and if the website is current enough and built in the way it needs, it can then take those elements and essentially just apply it to all these underwhelming templates. But you just get like really, I guess if you get all your work on Fiverr for a Fiverr, then you're probably in trouble, because it's that kind of level. It's for people that would normally, I guess, either use the cheapest freelancer they can find and they're not worried about how bad it is, or they would just do everything themselves in Word, like really, or Canva nowadays, I guess, is where the Word people go to.
I have seen some fairly decent illustrations from AI, which might be a bit scary for illustrators as well, like artists. Yeah. Because, like, obviously, if it can do that, then just people are going to do it for free. They're going to use it.
Yeah.
Do it themselves, so.
But I think when you look at it, it's like that thing. It's like you think that's impressive. And then when you really look, you go, well, this car's only got three wheels.
I think it could be useful for people who want to save time, I guess. Like, if you get you can touch it up yourself.
But do you think, right, that the people who will then go and use these kind of like free to use quick AI stuff, do you think they would have gone to a designer anyway?
No.
Yeah.
Mm. Or like you said, the cheapest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like there's the expensive ones. I've seen a few examples of like, saw a football one where they used it to illustrate, like, you know, footballers as illustrations. So like, and it looked pretty decent, to be fair. But obviously, it was only the football player.
But is that taking a photo and then...
replicating a photo.
It's applying a filter to a photo.
I guess in a way, but it was quite, like, artistic. It wasn't, like, quite a basic filter. It was quite, in-depth. So, I think, if you're an illustrator who sort of traces images...
Yeah.
It could be a problem for you.
But a lot of those things you could do with, like, Photoshop and Illustrator anyway, so...
I guess you could do like image trace and stuff.
Yeah, you can do image tracing, and there are a lot of
pretty decent like illustration.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
I guess it's like a shortcut, right, for maybe what you would achieve via a few different processes and like bits of software to get the same result, you know, without being an illustrator, you know. So if you had that photo and you want it to look like, you know, like a screen print, you could do that in Photoshop and then like trace it in Illustrator. So it's a, you know, to clean it up a bit.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that it maybe performs a little bit better when it's given something real to work on than to generate something from scratch?
I think, if you give it like an idea, like show it what it's got to do, then it's a lot better.
Yeah.
But if you're like, make this without any idea of what it's making, you're going to get... Yeah. Like I used Photoshop's one, AI, generative, like where you can like... It was like a person in a t-shirt and I wanted to put him in like a pilot outfit.
Okay.
So I cut out his head here and like his arms. And I was like, make me a pilot outfit. And it gave me some decent ones that I actually used one.
Oh, okay.
So that was quite handy. It was a bit like the tie was a bit
like
terrible. Photoshop AI is handy here and there.
Well, I was experimenting just by having a completely blank layer and then just... on the generative AI field, just putting in the names of colleagues and see what it come up with.
Right.
And most times it would come up with a person of some description, apart from me. So the first time I was a kind of looked like fairly uncared for lower part of a field somewhere. Right. And then the second time it was like a close up of a flower.
Oh.
And then one
Did
colleague
you put
of
Rich
ours.
Or Richard?
No, I put my full name, Richard Kemp. Yeah? And then another colleague, I put his full name in, and it had a black ape kind of statue, right, in a blue silk suit, and then the hair was made out of kind of what can only be described as, like, you know, like a really old like Greek statue and all the what marble, I guess, is all like tarnished and blemished and spoiled over the years. So it's that kind of vibe, but it also looked a little bit like the barnacled bottom of a boat. And it was such a striking image. It was absolutely amazing, but it definitely wasn't the guy. Oh, obviously, he's not going to know who I'm. You know, I get why. But it's just like...
If you're an average guy, gave you something really weird.
I guess that makes me interested into why does it make... What's its making decision-making process, right? Because obviously it is following some kind of...
Has an AI thing, come right? from, you know, like all them captures you do? It's like, make sure you're real. You have to tick this image if it's a bus. Isn't that... farming data for AI, isn't that how that works? I'm pretty sure
that was farming data for driverless cars or something.
Oh,
that, you know, spot the traffic lights.
Well, there's like spot the stair or spot the bridge, or there's like other ones.
Oh, okay.
But or spot this shape. I've been getting them now. Like be like a dinosaur and like a shape of a tiger. Of like spot the one with four legs, and you click the tiger, and it's like. Yeah. But I've heard that them sort of things are farming data for AI.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, get your money's worth out of that capture, but, right?
I don't know who to believe. Obviously, it could be false.
Well, I think there's a court case going on at the minute between Getty Images and Stability AI. Stability AI are accused of using Getty Images to train its image generative AI. Yeah. And they're supposed, I think that what they're accused of is they've scraped the internet, took thousands of Getty images and just used those to train up its AI. I think the case is ongoing at the minute. It's happening in London because one of the aspects of the case is where did the crime allegedly happen? Like, did it happen in the UK? What territory is it? Like, I think... people are keeping an eye on it as a landmark case to see what precedent it sets. Because obviously they own, Getty Images own those images. That's its bread and butter. It's its intellectual property. So for someone to then go through and then use it for their own business gains, then they don't want that happening.
Yeah, but say as a designer or any creative, maybe you looked at lots of images for inspiration, right? Would that put you in the same...
yeah,
you know, troubled water as the robot?
I think it's harder to target loads of people than it is one company, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, but not in terms of like whether it's easy, whether it's an enforceable law or easy to prosecute someone, but just what is the difference between what was the word you used to like kind of trawl and like, was it like scare?
Yeah, crawl, scrape.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Is that just a digital version
but are they using this
like you know, putting together a mood board and like searching the stock sites and searching Pinterest?
But this AI is using these images, right, to recreate newer images, right? Or is it just using them to get them?
Well, I think in this particular case they actually downloaded the files and got them and then put them into the AI, I think it was the AI crawling the net. I think they, part of the what's going on in the trial at the minute is that they have identified that they had these 100,000 files, so that's where they're sort of prosecuting them on that. But then, you know, it's like I guess what you were saying, Rich, about influence when humans have it, like you could prove that Bruno Mars has a Michael Jackson album. Does that necessarily mean, you know, can, but just because he's influenced, how are we defining influence?
Well, what if there's a Getty image of some famous building that was actually designed by someone else? Does that person then go, well,
yeah, I guess
you're making money from my building? You know, if you're a conceptual artist for film and TV and you go around and you look at loads of Getty images of landscapes or whatever, to start your process of designing concepts for something with that, and some lawyer comes around and goes, oh, you've got all these Getty images of all these things and you made that set for Doctor Who or something, does that person then get in the same amount of trouble as Johnny AI.
Yeah,
I guess. Because these are Getty images with the watermark on them, right? Not actually membership paid for.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if they actually pay for the images and whether that makes any difference. But yeah, it's. I mean, because you can, of course, browse that site and look at the watermark stuff. Maybe they've done that, and maybe they're using that just to teach the AI what stuff looks like, you know. But they're using someone else's material to do it.
Yeah,
a lot of muddy water.
It's a grey area, isn't it?
Because it is, you know, for people who do create art and like illustrations, I think their complaints are like valid, right? They're just like, well, where are you getting all your data from? You're getting it from our work. And then to use that to take away our work, sort of thing. So it's like double punch, isn't it? Double kick.
Yeah.
So, you know, part of me wishes it wasn't happening. And well, certainly I think what breaks my heart the most is that out of all the things there are in the world that humans do, I think creativity is probably the most
unique.
It's the it's the most unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the oldest things we do, right, as a species. You know, like it really goes back to our ancient past when we were still, you know, just crazy old hominoids, right? Just like banging bricks or not even bricks, banging rocks and starting fires. Yeah, man. And like,
yeah.
But it's like, it's part of us and it's part of what?
How we express ourselves.
How we express ourselves. Mm. And it almost can't be art, I don't think, unless it's come from a sentient being. Because to me, that is almost like part of the definition of art.
But
it's an expression. So if you're asking a bit of software to create something, that's not an expression, is it?
If you were to use that bit of the art that the software's created, but with your own stuff as well, would you count that as?
Yeah, because that's a person producing the final result. You know, like a collage, right? A collage is expression, isn't it? Even though you're taking... But the fact that it's just output, output isn't the same as expression.
You think if someone...
And I think that's what breaks my heart, right? It's that. It's because, come on, man, out of all the things, why that?
Yeah.
Because the people in charge think that's easy and they don't see the value in it. And they think, oh, that'll be a good one to earn money from, and then we don't have to worry about, you know? I've overheard some heartbreaking conversations with, you know, from between, you know, like business people on the train or whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, don't worry, one day you just better like open up the thing, put in your brand colours, put in this, and it'll just churn out all your stuff. I'm just like, that is a, you know, a very worrying,
scary,
and extremely dull dystopia.
We've spoken a lot about where the inspiration comes from and how, you know, we take inspiration from the cutting edge stuff of art and music and fashion, and it filters down. That's always going to be there, though, isn't it? The where these ideas come into the world is always going to be those special people, and AI is only ever going to be able to
match them,
take it, get influenced by
it. Make it more bland, right?
And what I wonder about is, what about when there's so much artificially generated copy and imagery on the internet, and AI is going back to the same well to find stuff? Will it identify what's artificially created and ignore that, or will everything become some weird copy of a copy of a copy? Will the quality drop?
I guess
we're probably not qualified to say, but
that is
I guess
food for thought.
It is gonna just end up being a bit beige, right?
Who knows, might get even more crazier.
I think one of the things that I also find a bit sad is the way it's kind of spurred this trend to really, really micromanage and curate your own visual history. So the amount, you know, now it's a thing where, you know, apparently, if you're on holiday and anyone else is anywhere near you, this is banned and they should be removed from the record, right? In photos and stuff.
Because
you're not part of a society or community. It's just you and where you are, right? So and, you know, this, whatever it's called, best face. What's it called? Where you can take the, take all the different photos and then choose the best faces and put them all in one photo.
Yeah.
Right, and just create something that just didn't happen just and fake. Go, that's a memory. It's like, it's not a memory.
Hmm.
I find that also a little bit like...
So if I have a photo on a balcony and I'm like, there's this person there, and I'm like, I don't want him in my photo. You don't think you should...
Some things I get, right? Yeah. But I think people. I think when you look at old photos, I don't know how often you look at old photos, but I really love old photos, right?
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to be connected to me. I just find it fascinating, you know, to see people that far back, right? And then, but you get a sense of like the life from the people in the background, right? That's where you can maybe find some things that you find really intriguing, or you start wondering, you know, it's like if you remove all context and go, oh, it's just me and my friend in front of the Eiffel Tower. And weirdly enough, there was no one else there that day. Yeah. It's like, it's, I think it's that, it's this weird facade that everyone's trying to build they're all contained in their own world and nothing overlaps with anyone else.
Won't that eventually become the norm?
Yeah.
It'll become normal, won't it, eventually?
Well, yeah.
Maybe the generations below.
I'm saying, that you just have these things where everything's removed, you want removed. I find that worrying, right?
That is, it's a boring world.
Yeah.
It's a grey world.
Yeah, because everything's just so manufactured and curated.
And we're also straying as a culture and a species away from the idea that there is one truth.
Yeah.
That of what is actually out there, that you sort of curate your own truth.
Yeah, exactly,
sounds politically dangerous to me.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it doesn't get to the point where you won't know, will you, anymore? Yeah. You know, I think especially I think news and journalism is like, although it's, I guess, not in the public sphere as much, it's all about art at the moment. But, you know, that will be heartbreaking. But what will be really, really problematic will be when you don't know, when you can't literally trust anything you see anymore.
So what do you think could be the caution for this? Like, how do you think they could make sure we do know?
I mean,
like a tag.
I mean,
so like you design a poster, and
I guess
placement, watermark. Yeah, but it could be
some sort of requirement try and do things to label AI content, right? But obviously, if you're going to be like nefarious or whatever, you're not going to. If you're the kind of person who kind of goes, well, I'm going to try and make this fake news or whatever, you're not going to be the kind of person to go, oh, well, but obviously I need to put the tag on it, because you've already gone that far, so you wouldn't put the tag on it. But at the moment, you can still tell, right? So when people go, oh, look at this, we can unblur the photo, and you see the image, it doesn't look like an unblurred photo, it looks like an AI version of the photo.
Well, this is what I was going to ask. Is it recognisable at the state that it is at the moment?
Like 70-30, like 70% of the time you can put, maybe even 80% of the time you can tell it's AI. Like I've used AI to rescale stuff, and sometimes it does a really good job, but it's just with people. It's not, there's like a little, I was rescaling like an album cover for something for myself, and there's like a little kid on the album cover, and he just went really smooth and just no texture to him at all.
Is a certain sort of indefinable quality to AI. Certainly, your sort of DALL-E kind of illustrations.
Yeah, it's probably the smoothness, like
almost
a
house style of it.
It just like removes texture from everything.
Yeah,
almost like. It removes noise, because it's like, okay, I'm upscaling this image. It means I don't want any noise, no pixels, because I want it to look high quality. But it removes the realism of the image.
Kind of screws
you over a bit.
I mean, I use it for probably what most people use it for, if I need to extend the background or maybe remove something, stuff like that. Yeah.
Instead, I just extended the album cover background and just...
Yeah.
There's like some false thing going on now
Yeah,
because so if you want a bit more sky, a bit more ground, it works well for that.
Yeah.
But it's just people at the moment, I think.
I mean, I guess the reason it's harder, I mean, obviously it's hard to people because it's so like complex. There's something different, like you say, you know, the way the light, you know, probably all the top animators, you know, all the, what, like Pixar and stuff, probably know all about those problems because they've been trying to fix them for years, right? Mm. But also you've got to remember that one thing humans really, really know is humans yeah. and when one's not one.
Yeah.
Because it's been with us for millions of years, right? Just looking at each other. So we really, yeah. really know a human when we see one. So I think that'll be that hopefully hard, and there'll always be maybe something that like trips you up. That tips you off.
An interesting point as well is, will it ever get there, or will it always be 99.999? Like, even decades into the future, is there something stopping it ever really copping as 100%? And
I mean,
I
obviously,
don't think so.
Being like neither a computer scientist or or anything of any value, I guess it must. I guess I don't see why not. Really,
yeah.
If you know. Obviously, if civilization doesn't collapse before then, but
yeah.
I think, yeah, if everything keeps going, sure, why not? And it could be amazing, lifetime, right?
In my lifetime,
probably in your lifetime,
yeah.
But
I'll be like, in some way, I'm up for it, man. I'm up for, you know, people having more time. I mean, it's not my quote, but it's like something I've seen on that internet they have. Mm. And that is where it's just, you know, the robots getting to paint and draw while we work in the factories isn't yeah. exactly what I had in mind.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's just like, what is that about?
Yeah.
It should be the other way round, right?
Of course.
So I think, I guess my frustration is the lack of imagination, like with all these... You know, all these things, and it's just like, oh, we've got this, oh, the potential, da, 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 and we can do with it, you know, oh, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna do art. I'm just like, yeah, but that's like, come on, man, there's like way. I mean, I guess part of it is it, because I think it's easy to go, oh, it should be solving climate change, or it should be solving, you know, poverty and stuff like that, which I guess at some point you move out of get to like strategize and things. I think that stuff I'd find interesting.
Yeah.
But I think it's a bit, you know, I guess it's a bit naive to go to think that those problems are also that simple that you can just train an AI. You know, if it can't work out people who only have five fingers, it's probably not going to get the nuances yeah, so of the geopolitical landscape right, I would think.
Surely, though, if you don't have the creativeness, so you use AI, surely yeah. you're not able to prompt it to be creative enough to produce what you want.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, because it's still a tool, right?
Mm. Yeah, so surely you need to have somewhat of a creative mind to prompt it. Because you could ask for a poster and get the most boring thing.
Yeah.
And if you're not a creative person, you think, oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
And then when people see it in the high street or wherever it is, you're less boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to have the creativity at the outset in the sort of briefing.
Yeah, yeah, to be able to brief. Brief.
But also the sort of critical faculty
and quality control, right?
Understand. Quality control, that's good enough, that's not good enough.
Yeah
So at the moment it's pretty dependent on human brains, isn't it?
Definitely. I guess to a point it always will be, but who knows what our overlords have in mind.
Because
the thing is, out of our, you know, I mean, it's, I won't get into that, but it's kind of out of our hands, right? So you can kind of, you know, I think what I get, I think it's the instant rolling over that I find frustrating. It's just like, you know, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. It's just like, yeah, you could try though, right? Rather than just immediately going, there's no way to stop this, so let's just jump in feet first. I get told, oh, you know, you shouldn't, you know, like, don't fear new technology. And I think, no, you should fear new technology, at least to the point where you go, shall we, like, think about what the consequences may be, so we think, you know, like all those things. I mean, fear's a bit strong, but you should at least pause, right, and think about it. I don't think that's either being a Luddite or a Philistine. I just think that's being sensible, right? You know, if people didn't jump into stuff, then you wouldn't have a lot of the problems you'd have now.
Yeah,
if people just thought about it for a little bit longer.
I think the problem comes where people perceive the danger of it is it becomes conscious and turns on us, you know, like Terminator style. But that's not the biggest danger.
That's
is
not
it?
The biggest danger.
I don't think so. No. Yeah.
You know, don't forget. I forget where I see it, but it was just that kind of gag, right? Where, you know, someone's worried about all the robots and all that sort of stuff chasing us, and then whoever's been asked questions, just like, just unplug it.
Yeah.
Literally just turn it off. Wait for the battery to run out. So yeah. I know like there's ways around that with like solar and all that sort of stuff. But essentially, somewhere there'll be a way to break one for the most part. You know, like Boston Dynamics is pretty terrifying, right?
What's that?
You know Boston Dynamics.
What's Boston Dynamics?
No.
No, you have to explain
it. Are you kidding me? Really?
Boston Dynamics? Explain
it. Yeah, the robotics lab that right. I think either Google, like one of those monsters bought. Yeah, I think it was Google or something. And they're like, have you not ever seen is any it the one Boston where the Dynamics?
Robot does a backflip.
Right. They're proper, like, you know, scary looking.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we, you know, can put guns on this. Right?
Right.
And they're, you know, and they've got different ones. And some of them are really cool. They've got one called the Flea. And it's like fairly small, say the size of a shoe, right? And it kind of like goes, say, and then it's in front of like a 4-story building or something. Right. And it goes like, and it creeps along up to the building, senses the height of the building, and then just goes like, wha-dong, like a flea, and just flips itself.
Right.
You know, how many stories up, lands on the roof, has a little scuttle around the roof, and then jumps off the roof back down again. And then you've got like the pack mule. You know, I've never seen a pack mule.
I've seen this sort of little dog type thing, and they all try and kick it to make it fall over, and it won't.
Yeah. There's one where it's like trying to walk through like mud and over obstacles, and they're kicking it. Right. And it's kind of making all these readjusting movements to the point where part of me went like, oh man, because it looks in pain. Yeah. It's like going, oh, and they're all like kicking it. It looks it, like it really pulls on your heartstrings. You know, like
that reminds me of like a little toy I had as a kid. It's like a robot and I can make him walk.
Yeah.
And I used to sometimes kick him.
Oh no.
And then I feel bad straight after.
There's an origin story.
My evil.
Yeah, so like they like really, really pushing it, you know, it's about to open doors and like do all the things that we assumed would keep us safe, like handles, but they're gonna. So there's all, you know, if you put that with
sort of like
Amazon
are gonna have drones that deliver us instead of delivery men. So
they'll be delivering like but killer robots with, you know, some AI art.
Yeah. Instead of delivery men, so their jobs, right? But I don't think right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows where it's
all gonna end,
but. I think it could be amazing, right? I'm just always going to be what Winkles would call naive, right? Because I just want everything to be nice, and I don't see what the problem is wanting that, right? Because everything could be amazing, couldn't it? Like the technology, the money we have, like as a species, right? The opportunity, everything could be absolutely amazing, better than anyone has ever imagined, but no. Yeah? No. Instead, there's like Hollyoaks or something.
I do find it, maybe I'm naive or a Luddite or whatever, but the idea of these like neural networks and stuff having a spark of inspiration, an original idea, a feeling, I find that difficult to get my head around. I find quantum physics difficult to get my hand around, but it's there.
Yeah.
But still, it's counterintuitive.
So you mean like in a human brain, though, you find it?
No, the idea
the idea that that can be done artificially.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, right? So as a designer, when you're faced with a brief, then at the moment, all AI can do is like take the, you know, the colour, the style, and then kind of trawl the internet and throw something vaguely like that back.
Mm.
But it won't be able to go, oh, do you know what? I really love vintage matchboxes, and I think that these will be a good inspiration for this label for a new line of jams, right? And you can go, and you can make these connections and go, oh, okay, because maybe, I don't know, it's called like, I don't know, like fire jam or something, right? So maybe it's like a chili jam.
Right.
Yeah? And you go, oh, okay, like you've got chili, you've got heat, you know, and they want it to be authentic. And you go, oh, okay, let's go and look at some like match boxes and stuff from like the 1970s in Greece, right? because the person who starting the company, their parents are Greek and, you know, and they come over here in the 80s, right? And you can... But you can make these leaps and you can talk to the person, you can find things out that are beyond colour preferences, font choices, and these like kind of, you know, useful, sure, but fairly vague kind of like phrases like, you know, friendly and modern, right? And all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And you can actually find something different. And that, I think that is a good example of, you know, like trawling the internet and finding things, because you're not just going, well, I wonder what all other jam labels look like. You go, oh man, like there might be some really like nice ideas in this separate thing that you can then translate. I think that will be very hard. Very
I think
hard
that aligns with sort of, as I was saying earlier, like being creative yourself and giving it a good brief.
Yeah.
Like you, someone who's not creative wouldn't think of a, as you said, a match box.
Yeah.
Right. They might just think, just say,
jam label.
Give me yeah, and then it's going to be the most boring jam label ever.
Yeah, man.
So I think it does come down to who's also briefing it.
Yeah, no, that's, it's true. It's true, yeah.
Yeah, there needs to be that sort of fresh blood of ideas coming in, or it's just going to be replicas.
Mm-hmm. And then who's going to want to... Do you think there'll be a point where... Because obviously it's stealing from... Sorry, taking inspiration from... the people that it's taking the work away from. So it almost needs to be an idea strike, right? Yeah. And people who just,
Can you imagine?
Yeah. No more brains.
Everyone goes on strike.
Yeah. All creatives just go on strike and go, I'm not giving you anything else. And just sit it out for like 50 years. Until, you know, so every AI is just producing exactly the same thing.
Then?
Yeah.
What do we do?
What do we do?
Yeah, because we're on strike. We get paid strike.
Well,
paid
that's
leave.
The thing, isn't it? That's how the bastards win, isn't it? It's like you go, you know, this is what all unions and strikers have faced, right? At some point, you have to go. Well, you know,
I have to go back anyway.
Kids are hungry.
Yeah.
It's not exactly a fair balance of power.
It would be so interesting to see what would happen to culture packaging.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
After a 50-year idea strike.
Yeah, you know, it would be interesting, right? So we start with us three. We've got a podcast.
Guys, join in.
You know, a listener somewhere, right? So we could start it here. Yeah,
the four of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, on that sort of...
it's call motivational. To action, right?
Right, on that rabble-rousing note, I think we'll bring the podcast to a close. I hope we've managed to bring some new ideas to the busy conversation around AI. If you have any thoughts, experiences or questions you'd like to share with us, don't hesitate to reach out via Solar Press YouTube channel or your streaming platform or our social media channels. We'll put all the details in the description below, and your feedback's really valuable to us, so... please do get in touch and like us and subscribe us and leave a comment. This has been a Solar Press podcast brought to you by Poppy Productions. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for more graphic design chat. Thanks, bye.